Shalom Aleichem, everyone, as I have the great schuss to be speaking to you from the center of the universe, the beginning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria, Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadosh, Shibanev and Meherev Yameinu. The tremendous blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us here. There is a set of Kisvei Chafetz Chaim published about 10 years ago that has in it a number of letters from the Chafetz Chaim that he wrote to families, one in London and one in Eretz Yisrael that were trying to facilitate his move to Eretz Yisrael. In the biographies of the Chafetz Chaim, it is written that his first attempt to move to Eretz Yisrael was aborted when his wife was hospitalized. She was sick for 2 years, and that prevented the Chafetz Chaim from coming to Eretz Yisrael. His second attempt, which was made in the 1920s, was also not carried out, although none of the biographies seem to say with certainty what the reason is. These letters shed light on it. As a matter of fact, there's a letter from the Chafetz Chaim explaining why he is not moving at this time. He says that there's a terrible hunger in Yerushalayim. People are dying of hunger. And although he knows that if he goes to Yerushalayim, they will make sure that he is well taken care of, but it's not a proper time to go to Yerushalayim when people are leaving because of the fact that there's no food. That's what it says there. Bear in mind, that's exactly 100 years ago. And today, the shefa, the bracha, the abundance, Baruch Hashem, of food in Atzeinu HaKadosh, and especially in Yerushalayim HaKadosh, it's a sign of the shefa, the bracha, Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us, how Eretz Yisrael is opening its arms to Klal Yisrael. Wherever you go, there's building, building, building everywhere. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu welcomes Klal Yisrael back to Arseinu HaKadosha. If only we could keep the shalom between us, between the Yidden, then we'll be managed with the dangers from our enemies, Be'ezras Hashem. Today I want to share with you a thought that was nechadish to me here. In this week's parasha, there's a lav against Leisechu Kol Te'eva. It's a general lav right after Revi, before the parasha of Macholei Sasureis, not to eat things that are Te'eva, usually translated an abomination. The Gemara in the eighth parak of Cholin, I think Daf Kuf Tezvav Amud Beis, darshins Leisechu Kol Te'eva for as a general iser for many different types of Macholei Sasureis. The Gemara, as a matter of fact, indicates that you get malchus, despite the fact that it seems to be a lavsha beklolos. But that's the issue of Leisech L'Kol Te'eva. The Ramban, on this pasuk, this week's parasha, finds this as the source for the well-known idea that they have an effect on the heart, on the neshama, on the nefesh of a person, a negative effect. Any aveira has a negative effect, but Macholei Sasureis especially have a negative effect. And the language of the Ramban indicates that it's a mitzvah, it's part of the physical fact of Macholei Sasureis. The Mishnah Yishar in Perek Gimel says so clearly. He says that an eichel lives because of the Dover HaNechal. The life of a person is from the food he eats, makes him what he is, so to speak. And therefore, it's metamte mesalev. It's a physical fact that it's metamte mesalev. It's brought in Yeridei Simen Pe'alos to the Zion. The idea of a woman who eats macholei sasureis, who eats non-kosher food, should not nurse a baby. The Shach says, I believe, Sukkot Chafei, even if she's allowed to eat it, it's Sukkot Nefashis, and she's allowed to eat macholei sasureis. It's mutter. Still, she should not eat it. If she does eat it, she mechuyev to eat it. But if she does eat it, she should not nurse the baby because it's metamte mesalei. So it's not the iser, it is the macholei sasureis themselves. So I had a kasha on this. And the kasha, which I'm sure others ask, is that in Yeridais, in Koftes, we learned that nevela is batel chad betrei with shchuta. If you have three pieces of meat, and they look identical. One is nevela meat and two aksherim. All three are considered kosher. All three are considered kosher. As a matter of fact, the person is allowed to eat. The same person is allowed to eat all three of them. Now, it says not to all eat all three at one time, but the Mepharshim say that's in the Rabbanim Be'etzem. A person is allowed to eat all three pieces. But I don't understand. If it's mitamteh mesalev, it's a physical fact that Tvarim Asurim cause damage to mitamteh mesalev, why doesn't it say you're not allowed to rely on rice and eat it because it's mitamteh mesalev? You're going to tell me because it's mutter, but what do you mean? So if you koach the fashas, it's also mutter. Maishna ha'zem yizeh. As a matter of fact, even someone eats a ba'inus, it says that it's metamtem esaleis. If someone eats a ba'inus, metamtem esaleis, and the question is that why should that be so? I'd like to share with you an important noida b'Yehuda. I believe it's tinyana, tzadik vav, I believe. The yesodistik of noida b'Yehuda that we learned when we learned Masechtas Arias, and it's important, a very important aside. Recently, I saw that the Zesidus, in a letter to the Chem de Shleima, printed in the Chem de Shleima, says the same exact aside. And the aside is the following question. If a woman remarries because two witnesses came and said her husband died, and Bezin questioned the witnesses, now Paskin she could remarry. Later, her husband returns alive. She needs to bring a karbachatos. She did an avera. She did an avera b'shege. More than that, if the Sanhedrin paskins that an Issacharis is mutter, and, well, if most of Klal Yisrael does the avera, the Sanhedrin means a kapara. But if it's not right, if there are individuals who rely on the psak of the Sanhedrin, and they eat a certain type of fat, Sanhedrin says it's not chelav, and it turns out it is. Well, chelav is issacharis. You have to bring a karbachatas. Ein l'chayin is gavol mizu. You have somebody who relied on the Sanhedrin. What's he supposed to argue with the Sanhedrin? He relied on the Sanhedrin. He might be an amoret. He might be a woman who never learned Yeridah and never expected to learn Yeridah. And still need to bring a karbachatas. Why? You're an inus. Okay, so let's say that an inus, you still have to bring a karbon. But hold on a minute. On the other hand, when a person relies on rives, when a person does something relying on rives, and he eats something, or relies on a chazaka, a cheskeskai of an animal, he shuts an animal, for whatever reason we check the lungs. But let's say he relied on rives, behemoth, and traces, he ate the meat. And later somebody found traces, let us say, in the brain, a hole in the brain. So he does not need a kapara. He does not need a kapara for the avera that he did. Even such a scenario with the iser karis, he doesn't bring a carbon. Why is that so? If he relies on the Sanhedrin, relies on two witnesses, he needs a kapara. If he relies on Raivu Chazaka, he does not need a kapara. Haloi Dalaru, Sedava Pella. Says the Naida B'Yehuda and in the Sidus the following Geshmaka Yisrael. He says that when the Sanhedrin paskin wrong, a mistake was made. When two witnesses said testimony that a man died and he walked in alive, a mistake was made. It could be an Azera, could be an error. A human being made a mistake. When mistakes are made, a person needs a kapara. Rive or chazaka are rules the Torah establishes for what we call hadhagas hasfekas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that human beings will sometimes be unsure about what to do. He says, when you're not sure what to do, rely on Rive, rely on Chazaka. That means that the person who relied on Chazaka or relied on Rive did nothing wrong. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. As a matter of fact, if it happens again tomorrow, he shuts an animal, he'll again rely that Rive behemoth on our traces. What he did was a proper thing to do in case of a suffix. We know, by definition, that sometimes when you rely on Rav or Chazaka, there'll be a minimum number of times where there will be a physical machalas asuras. However, that's what the Torah establishes. So therefore, when the Torah says machalas asuras, the Torah tells us machalas asuras are subject to the dinim of bittul v'raiv, the dinim of chazaka. That's part of the definition, just like the definition of a non-kosher animal is defined in the Torah. The same thing, the definition of non-kosher food is defined in the Torah. The Mela, coming back to Macholis Asura, is very gishmak. If you have someone who's in danger and he has to eat treifis, or a woman that has to eat non-kosher food because of pikuach nefashis, the food is still not kosher. It doesn't change what took place. Raiv and Chazaka, the rules of Raiv and Chazaka establish whether they're asur or not. That's a part of what the Torah did in establishing Devarim Asurim. It's a mitzias. It is a mitzias. The mitzias of the food that's metamtem is that it's not metamtem. In a case where it's batal b'raiv, some rishonim use an expression of iser nasa heter. This it turns into heter. Other rishonim disagree with the expression. It's machlokes, the Rosh and the Rashba. But the point is the concept. The concept is that Roid and Chazaka are the rules of Adhagas HaSeikas, the way a person acts when he is in Safek. And they're 100% correct. They're not pshat, you're allowed to take a risk. Pshat is they're 100% correct, you're allowed to do it. So this is a beautiful yisayt of the Night of Yehuda and the Nesivis, one worth studying and understanding. And we can use it to explain this idea, the idea we're talking about this evening, here this evening, and we're talking about this evening for Yerushalayim Ir HaKadosh, the rules of Raiv and Chazaka. A person sits and he learns. People learn the sectus of Nashim and Nezikin. Why are we learning Nashim and Nezikin? More than Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Brachos. Simple. Nashim and Nezikin contain the bread and butter of Teraseinu HaKadosh, the basic concepts, the ideas of Raiv and Chazaka and Migul and Edus. All the different yesidistic concepts of Teraseinu HaKadosh. And it's something that you shouldn't let go of just because you spend many hours at work and maybe you have a limited amount of time to learn. But everybody who finds himself in a matzah such as that, in a situation such as that, he has to have a bekiya seder, no question. But he has to have a time to learn the yin too. To understand the beautiful yesidistic concepts of Teraseinu HaKadosh. I've told you, suggested to you many, many times, if you find your days are hectic, there are two parts of the week where a person could be kaveya himself a extra seder. One is on Thursday night. You go to sleep late, you're tired Friday, but Shabbos is coming. And Shabbos afternoon, Shabbat Inn was such a long afternoon, a gigantic afternoon. Remember when sunset was 4:30? And now sunset is 8 o'clock. You have an extra 3.5 hours Shabbos afternoon. What are you going to do for 3.5 hours extra? You're going to sleep an extra 3.5 hours. Not a good idea. And much of Shabbos, you can't fall asleep and you dray around. Have a Seder, a Thursday night and Shabbos afternoon Seder. Now 3 hours Thursday night, 3 hours Shabbos afternoon. Take a chagrusa, learn one of the prakim you once upon a time you learned in your yeshiva years. Take it and let it be and learn. Learn just avveis a whole year. You'll be the biggest ili because the slower you learn, the bigger ili you are. But take out your notes. Remember, you went to shir. Don't tell your chagrusa. Pretend you're a member. Take out your notes secretly. Look at them. And then when you get together with your chagrusa, pretend that you suddenly remember there was a shev shmeis on the sukkah. The Chavrus will do the same thing. It'll be very Gishmak Haseidah. Put in the effort to understand the Yisaidah of Teraseinu HaKadosh. Wishing everybody an absolutely wonderful Shabbos Kodesh from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Yishuv Yizaycha to the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash and the Heira B'Yameinu.